After months of diplomatic efforts, peace talks between Syria's government and opposition negotiators have been slated for early next year.
As you know, we have agreed on a date for the conference. It will be the 22nd of January here in Geneva. We are still discussing the complete list of participants. It is a huge opportunity for peace that shouldn't be wasted. This being so, we very strongly appeal to the Syrian government and the opposition to, not to wait for the conference, to do some confidence-building measures.
Brahimi said the Geneva II meeting would go ahead without any preconditions. This despite the Syrian opposition's demand for President Bashar al-Assad to resign as a precondition for any talks. He added the list of participants invited has not been announced yet. However, Iran and Saudi Arabia were potential participants. The UN chief too said he expected all partners and parties related to the conflict to show support for constructive negotiations in the upcoming peace conference on Syria. To discuss that further, we're now joined by Mr. James Jatras, who is a former advisor to the U.S. Senate, and he's joining us live now via Skype from Washington. Sir, thanks a lot for joining us. Now, you know, there is a bit of discrepancy here, isn't it? The Syrian opposition wants a precondition that Assad go before talks take place, and Dr. Brahimi speaks of no preconditions.
That's right, and of course, some Western governments have also taken the position in the past that there should be a precondition that Assad step down. I think at this point, that as much as some countries, notably Saudi Arabia, may not be happy with that, I see that there's no other way that the talks can take place unless both sides are willing to enter them without preconditions.
Right. So then going forward, what kind of hope do you then put in such talks whenever they do finally take place?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the first part of the question.
Whenever these talks do finally take place, how much hope do you put in them succeeding?
It's very difficult to answer that question. I think that, like any other military conflict, the negotiations will be in part driven by events on the ground. And the fact of the matter is that the Assad government seems to be gaining the upper hand. I think some of the countries, notably Qatar and Turkey, that had been enthusiastically supporting the rebels, maybe somewhat more cool to that right now. I even have to wonder now that the United States has had to gravitate to the Russian initiative on chemical weapons, whether the Washington's insistence on regime change is as strong as it was in the past.
So then all these countries that you speak of, including the United States, Qatar, and others, are they really interested in more of the strategic gains to be made in Syria, or are they really worried about the people on the ground there, do you think?
Oh, I don't think. I think there's probably on a human level some concern about the people, but I don't think that's what's driving policy. What's driving policy is clearly geostrategic, that this is largely seen as a proxy war between, you might say, the Sunni axis of Turkey and Saudi Arabia and some of the Gulf states, and Iran as the major Shiite power. And Washington generally would prefer that the Sunni bloc come out ahead. That's been somewhat complicated by the change of government in Egypt.
Okay, we'll leave it there for now, but of course we do appreciate your insight. As always, that was Mr. James Jatras, former advisor to the U.S. Senate, speaking to us live via Skype from Washington.